Welcome to A Cornucopia of Tales and Tellers. I'm Simona, and today we are joined by our co-host and guest, Alan. Hello, Alan.
Hello, Simona. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. And you?
I am pretty good, pretty good.
Great. So today Alan will tell us something about himself, and then he has a story to tell us. So Alan, can you tell us something about yourself? Who is Alan in a nutshell?
In a nutshell. So I am from the Glens of Antrim in the north of Ireland. And I've had a sort of passing interest in stories all my life because, well, in Ireland, we have this sort of amazing back catalogue of mythology and tales. And then once I became an English teacher, once upon a time, and over time, I've sort of forced more, not forced, but I've definitely brought in more literature, stories and storytelling into the classroom. It just so happens that I'm also an English teacher as opposed to now a storyteller. But that's sort of a happy coincidence because I can do both in the same place, which is, it's great fun. It's good crack.
Great. So how did you get into storytelling? Was there something particular? How did you start telling stories?
It's sort of a cross between by chance and with being an English teacher, with, you know, like in every young learner books, there's always like very similar stories. There's always the Pied Piper or Stone Soup, which is a really, you know, common story in the ELT textbooks. But it was sort of that plus a mix of, I think we had a discussion maybe about a year ago about the first ever story that we remember. And funnily enough, I still remember the first ever tale where it was like a creation story. I'm 99% sure it was by Liz Weir, who came into our primary school and told the story of how the parrot got its colours. And I had never considered anything like that before because I was quite, you know, if it's not written down in a textbook, it's not true. So to be told a story like that, it was sort of quite eye-opening to a seven-year-old culture. And it sort of widened my imagination in a very few sentences. It was really nice.
That's great. I didn't know about this experience of yours. So you you got into storytelling when you were very, very young.
Well, it sort of got into it by storytellers, yeah. And then my grandfather was always a keen teller of tales. Not so much like mythology and folklore, but it was just what happened in his youth and, you know, stories from around the country working on farms and stuff. So it probably came from there as well. He could always tell a really good tale. It was good fun.
Wonderful. And so what are the stories that you like to tell the most?
I love Irish folklore. I love the fairies, the mythology, the Tuatha De Danann, you know, the origin stories of coming to Ireland, and there was already, you know, there was already gods and goddesses here. But I think the really important thing about especially Irish mythology compared to a lot of folklore and fairy tales around the world, a lot of stories around the world, there's good and bad, and it's quite binary. Whereas here, we have characters have good actions and bad actions. You know, the hero of one story can be the Joker in the next. And not everybody's good, not everybody's evil. Everybody's quite mixed. You know, so the good guys can do a nasty thing, whereas the bad guys can do nice things. You know, so it's never black and white. We're quite a complicated bunch, really, when you think about it.
And yeah, well, like in real life, so they're not.
Yeah,
they're
it's
real
more
stories.
It's almost more realistic where you're judged on your actions, and it's not good versus evil. You know, black and white. You know, dark side, light side kind of thing. It's multidimensional, multifaceted, and there's, you know, multicolored. It's very you can be a hero, but you can also be a bit of a dick. at the same time. You know, it's not good or bad, which I really like. Yeah, complicated is the word.
Is it like I'm thinking of an example, like Finn McCool in some stories. He's the hero of the story. In some stories, he's not that good.
Well, yeah, he's, you know, he's our greatest warrior and our, you know, our champion of champions kind of things. But at the same time, he got the world's knowledge by accidentally burning his finger on the salmon of knowledge. So it's like a complete happenstance has helped him become, you know, one of the greatest Irish people of all time, because he burnt his thumb and he sucked it and it so happened to have the juices of the salmon of knowledge on it. So even, yeah, even Finn McCool's not, isn't entirely good, isn't entirely bad. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah, he's human, so.
Yeah, or better than human, one of those.
Exactly. So, Alan, I think you've got a story for us today. And is that an Irish story?
Not only is it an Irish story, but it's a true story. It's one of those tales that I quite literally have the scars to prove it. I'm not even joking. Luckily enough, this is a podcast, so it's audio only. On the right hand side of my, what's that, your jawline? Something like that?
Yeah, your jawline.
I have
neck.
Yeah, your jaw. Yeah, the top of your neck where your chin meets your jaw, meets your neck. I have a scar going down that, which is luckily enough because I have four chins and it hides it quite well. And then I also have a lump on my left-hand side in my neck, which I'll get to in a minute. But I do genuinely have the scars to prove this story is a true story. Right. And it's also sort of based on other things. But yeah, I'm going to tell the tale of the time I was taken by the fairies.
Great. So let's listen to Alan. And thank you, Alan, for telling us this story.
So this little tale happened actually such a long time ago. It was when I was just learning to walk. And then the second event in the story happened some years later. So I'd been told this story many times and I can picture it in my head, you know, in my your mind's eye, when you've been told a story so many times, you sort of imagine a false history of it. But I was far too young to ever remember the actual day and the actual events. So what happened was I was just learning to walk or had learned to walk, possibly even that week. And the house we lived in at the time, the garden was on a slope. Now, the geniuses that are my family decided to put a rose garden at the bottom of the hill, as opposed to the top of the hill, because that's actually where it got the most sunlight and it kept the roses nice and healthy. The only issue was that is not a great idea when a little toddler is toddling about, just learning to walk, and gravity so happens to be an issue. I was a chunky child. So basically what happened was I was obviously walking down the hill because there's no way I'd walk up a hill because I'm quite lazy. And I fell into the rose garden and obviously roses, quite a lot of thorns, and I had slashed my face, neck and body quite badly. So I was rushed to hospital by my parents. But the problem was there so happened to be quite a major car crash that day. So the doctors couldn't look at me at all. They said, if it gets worse, come back in a few days. I didn't go back in a few days, so we left. So the lump on my left-hand side is still a part of a thorn bush stuck in my neck. And the gash down my jawline on the right-hand side is one of the major cuts that I got that day. So a load of years later, it must have been the summer holidays from school one year. I was around, I don't know, 8 or 9 years old. We had moved house out into the countryside and I was walking the dogs in the forest up behind us here. So knowing the place like the back of my hand, I sort of took a wee detour around a bit of it I'd never seen, because around the reservoir at the top, there's a lot of wee trails. You can go basically to the entire Glens of Antrim. You could be walking for days. But then I fell down a shach. A shach, by the way, is a ditch in a forest. My grandmother used to spell it S-H-U-E-C-H, which aren't real words, but that's how she used to spell the word shach. But the problem was this shach so happened to be near a skiak, which is a white thorn bush, where the fairies live, which is a bit of a problem because the other crowd came out and found me. They took me to the other world, which is not very good when you're about 9 years old walking your dog, or not very good at any time. So I was being taken along to this area, shall we say, by the fairies. And it's a bit of a weird world. It's not too dissimilar from ours. Everything was much cleaner and neater than what I was used to in the forest. But you could tell something was off. It was like, you know, that slither of double vision you get when you're putting on a pair of glasses. It was like that. So they carried me past a few groups of other fairies that were there. I could see them laying on some kind of feast. It was this big, great big oak table in the middle of the forest. All of it was outside, of course. It was some of the finest looking food you ever seen. It was, you know, lamb, pork, champ, colourful veg, pastries, and a rake of spuds. There was a lot of lads getting ready with fiddles and bow runs and all as well. So there was going to be a lot of crack. You know, you've heard of the Tír na n-Óg, where this was going to be Tír na n-Óg as crack. So what they did, they tried to clean me up and feed me, because everybody knows if the fairies can clean you up and feed you before the sun goes down, you're forever stuck in their world. If they get you in perfect nick, that is. So the sun went down and I thought, oh balls, I've had it. I'm stuck here. And as the last slither of the light just disappeared over the horizon, up to the glens, everybody disappeared. And there's me standing in the middle of the shach with the moon coming out and two very confused and hungry dogs barking at me as if they'd been waiting on me for a couple of hours. And I looked down at myself and I'm clean as a whistle. You wouldn't have thought I'd fallen into the shach at all. So I take the dogs home and there's me thinking, geez, I'm in some kind of trouble here. I'd been away for hours. Like, I only left at lunchtime. So I get home and me ma was panicking. Wonder if it's really me or if it was a fairy shapeshifter who'd taken my place, you know, because that's what happens. And then me dad comes over and he starts poking my neck. And he goes, all right, there it is. And he spots that wee lump on my left-hand side of the neck. And he spots that gash I have down the right-hand jawline. And he knew instantly that thorn stuck in my neck is what saved me that day. So I never ended up going back to the fairies and I stayed well clear of them ever since. But what they don't know, and I do know, is they can never take me to their world. Unless they feed me, of course, then I'm in real trouble.
That's a great story, Alan. So the thorn saved your life.
Exactly. And I still have the injuries to prove it as well, yeah.
That's great. So they washed you, they cleaned you in the fairy world, but they couldn't get the thorn out.
So what happens in the fairy world is if the fairies can clean a person perfectly to turn them into a perfect specimen, because as everybody knows, the fairies are actually the Tuatha De Danann, the gods who have since moved to the underworld. So they want perfect specimens to join them, basically. So the common thing is if you are offered a drink or some water or some food by the fairies, that goes into your body and therefore they become a part of you. So you're stuck there. But what they also try to do, especially with young ones, is if they can clean you up and, you know, get rid of all your cuts and bruises and maybe broken bones or whatever, they can make you one of them before the sun goes down. But they never spotted the thorn I have in my neck. They didn't know about it. And they had no way of knowing that it was there. So that's what saved me in the end. Clumsiness as a toddler. Who knew?
That's great. And what did you tell your parents when you got home?
Oh, no, that doesn't happen in Ireland. I get slapped silly for missing my dinner that day. The dogs needed fed. The other animals needed put in for the night.
That was great, Alan. Thank you very much for telling us this tale.
Well, thank you, everybody, for listening anyway. I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. And thank you very much, Alan, for being with us and for answering our questions and for the lovely tale. And thank you, everybody, for listening to us. And we'll be back soon with another episode. But for now, thank you. Goodbye. Good night. Good morning.
And thank you very much. And bye-bye, Simona. And thank you very much to everybody else. Thank you.
Bye.